Jason, we friends just having a conversation.
Wave your hands high.
Don't stop.
Wave your hands high.
All right, welcome back for another episode. This is Jason Janik. You are listening to North Texas Music Fanatics. I'd like to thank everybody who's really helping out with the Patreon. I was able to purchase a new mic to replace the one that was buzzing. The last episode, I really appreciate Matt's help with loaning me a mic that saved us. And so everyone on Patreon, thank you very much. Also, if you're not already following us on Instagram, everything you can find, NTXMF. So go to Instagram, find us there. Patreon, same way. If you're listening on Amazon Music, same way. And don't forget, we also do premiere these episodes on deepelumradio.com. All right, so let's kick right into this. This show is basically just two friends talking. And today I've got a friend. I met you, I guess, earlier this year. Is probably like spring or early summer, if I remember correctly. I'm going to guess there's going to be a lot that you tell me that is new to me. I'm sure you've got a lot to say. So let's hear from Gabriel Pinon.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, Jason. Definitely a lot's been going on since we first met. I think I was I'm always going through... kind of keeping this music thing going. Yeah, I think when we first met was when I felt like I had my first kind of solid lineup for this group, this project I've been putting together. That's kind of just been an amalgamation of kind of just everything that influences me and everything that I like artistically and stylistically that I kind of just put together musically over the years and found the right people to work with.
Well, you definitely found some really good people to work with. I remember, so we met because on the side, I do some DJ gigs. I was playing a gig opening for y'all, and you took the stage and just really surprised me. It was some really good stuff. Why don't you tell me about the band?
Yeah, so my band, Sucia Muerte, the best way I could describe it would be like a psychedelic Latin funk vibe kind of music. We got a lot of reggae, hip-hop influence, some punk influences, some psychedelic rock influences as well, and we kind of just melt that together, which also brings me back why we kind of we did hit it off a lot, I think, because of your records and how you spin actual records, and I think we were nerding out about your collection as well. So
yeah, we share a big love of vintage hip-hop. It's tough because when I play a lot of places, you got to play the big top 40 hits, and I was digging a little deeper and surprised to see y'all kind of wigging out about that, because there's a lot of songs out there that most people don't recognize, and you knew it, so I liked that.
Absolutely. And even as a musician, I feel like we kind of sample things that we really enjoy about like a certain song or a certain genre of music, and we'll kind of like put that in or mix it in kind of to our recipe of how we create our music.
Yeah, and your band seems pretty diverse. I'm sure, as all bands do, they go through different lineups, but I remember you still have the same bassist.
Yeah, actually,
that dude rocked.
Yeah, Jackie Billings, about 67 years old, man. He's still rocking that bass guitar, man. He's big in the Jimi Hendrix kind of that kind of circuit. You could just imagine this guy can pretty much play anything on the bass guitar, and he can really play some funk. And he's probably been the one of the most solid members of the group since I started this whole thing. It pretty much kind of had been interchanging lineup. But Jackie was always like the main solid bass player, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, if anybody hears him play, you understand why you'd want to keep him. He knows how to put down a good bass line, that's for sure. Do I remember correctly that, he's shared the stage with some rather important people over the decades, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's played the local Texas music scene for years, and he's played with Power of Love.
Oh yeah, okay.
Just to name one. But yeah, he's been making his moves for a long time. So I was glad to have him in my back pocket, so to speak.
Well, that's good. So moving from him to you, how did you get into music? How long you been playing?
I picked up a guitar, I think, probably when I was 13 years old. And I was listening to my first punk records. And, I realized all I needed was three chords, and I could just kind of rattle them away and maybe yell some lyrics, and it might put something together. So I started off when I was like 13 years old with not really any musical knowledge. I kind of just tinkered around before I took it seriously.
And how many bands would you say over the years you've been in?
Easily, I don't know if it's somewhere between 6 or 7 or more than that, but I've definitely had a few projects that I was part of, and then also that I, you know, tried to put together myself as well, since 13 years old. Yeah.
And so where all have you played over the years?
I've pretty much played Louisville, Dallas, Plano, Arlington, Fort Worth. Yeah, so I mean, I've pretty much touched out a little bit here and there all over the Metroplex, yeah.
So you've been in North Texas, I guess, for most of your adult life?
Yeah. Dallas raised, but I was born in California, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. It was pretty clear when I listened to some of your music where some of your influences came from. But why don't you go ahead and tell people listening, you know, what raised you musically?
Musically, I grew up listening to a lot of classic rock and roll. So, man, I would definitely list like ZZ Top as one of my Texas influences. 13th Floor Elevators, you know, they were like the first progenitors of the psych rock scene here in Texas. And listening to, you know, that kind of music at a young age, I kind of just, it melted together into what I created, as well as, you know, having a Latin background and, you know, listening to, you know, Spanish sung music as well. So I kind of took, you know, also the influences of the Mexican punk bands like Los Psychos, also Los Sucios, stuff like that. Molotov is one of the more, like, I guess, modern influences that I have, as well as kind of just mixing in a style that I guess would almost be like a Rage Against the Machine kind of sound, like mixing in the hip hop with like a, almost like a classic rock sound.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, this may come in from your bass player, because the bass line kind of really drives the sound, but there, I definitely hear a little bit of Parliament, a little bit of funk in there with your, what's your other guitarist name? I forget.
David Ortega. Yeah.
Yeah. So with David, I can kind of hear a little more Stevie Ray Vaughan. So it seems like you're pulling in from a lot of different stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, Maggot Brain is definitely something we closely studied for kind of the thing that we do. It's like right up our alley. So yeah, I mean, Parliament, the P-Funk, the George Clinton, yeah, that kind of stuff as well. The funk has also influenced us largely, as well as, you know, my bass player and my other guitar player, they're super into the funk as well.
So tell me, where are some of the places that your band's been playing lately?
So lately we play pretty regularly at Strokers off of Harry Hines in Dallas. It's a biker bar that's, I mean, pretty chill and laid back. The crowd seems to really enjoy what we throw down. So that's been kind of our, I guess, our home away from home kind of place. So we play there pretty regularly, probably at least once a month. Currently, I do have a couple gigs lined up. January 4th will actually be at Big Springs in Richardson, Texas. January 19th at 8 p.m. we'll be playing at Stumpy's in Arlington. Another place we got our start was Diamond Jim's.
Okay.
There was an open mic we played there. That's actually how I met Jackie Billings. Was playing with a few other musicians that had, you know, brought me onto the open mic scene. And we were going from there to T's Bar and Grill in Louisville. That one's in Louisville, sorry. But we definitely did a lot of open mics in Arlington, in Louisville, at T's Bar and Grill. And then we just kind of ended up playing wherever else they would let us play.
Yeah, I know that T's, like you mentioned, they've got a really nice stage there too. So I can only imagine if you get up there on one of their open mic nights, it's got to give you a little bit of room to really flesh out and feel. I mean, are you going in there with heavily practiced songs, or do you use some of those nights just to kind of flesh out new stuff?
It's definitely a little bit of both. I mean, we definitely come in there ready to, you know, set the stage on fire with our, you know, our heavily practiced songs. But we also like to experiment a little bit, you know, having that psychedelic side. We definitely like to kind of just feel out new grooves. And, you know, so we've even come up with songs sometimes on the spot, just because we like kind of feeling that psychedelic groove a little bit, and that experimental and improvisational element to it.
I noticed on a few of the songs that I heard that you kind of stretched your legs a little bit and allowed a little bit of jam band to come into it, which I thought was fun, because I think with the type of music that you play, you really want to feel like you're creating something there for the crowd. You know, there's certain bands that you want to see absolute precision, and there's other bands that you want to be in the moment with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that feeds the most to the creativity and being able to just play freely. And I mean, more than anything, we enjoy what we do. And yeah, like you said, we kind of receive that energy from the crowd and we'll give it right back and give an amazing show. So.
Well, that sounds good. I know that we're about time for our first song. We've discussed your band. We discussed Rocky and 13th Floor. We discussed a few different things. What do you think we should play first? What do you want to hear? Oh, I know. There's some really cool live stuff that Rocky's done over the years. So let's play one of his post 13th Floor elevator tracks. Here we go. Let's hear a little bit more about your band, because I really enjoyed the stuff that I saw, and I know that you've got some newly recorded stuff. I want to hear kind of about the process. How do you go about creating your songs? Is it a group effort? You've got in the band, you've got, let's see, one, two, three. It's a five piece?
Yeah. Well, currently we're a four piece.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Two guitars, bass, and drums.
Okay.
And I do vocals as well as I share vocal duties with my other guitarist. And yeah, so the process is pretty like open, free form, kind of just, you know, either Jackie will bring us, you know, like a bass, you know, he's got a large influence definitely in the music. So he'll bring us like a bass line that we can kind of build off of. He's like, hey guys, you know, check this out. I really like this. You know, it sounds kind of funky, or it sounds, you know, real like, you know, aggressive. Let's see if we can hit this real hard. And so some of the ideas kind of start from him literally just sending us through Dropbox, like a bass guitar lick. and I'll listen to it, come up with like a guitar riff and write lyrics, like literally on the spot sometimes. So the process is feels very free and open. It's very DIY for us too, because I mean, luckily we live in the age where the barrier to entry is pretty low. So, I mean, you got a Tascam, recording device, you can pretty much live record anything. So, I did, this recording actually in my living room, of my home. And I mic'd everything, recorded live off the floor, and afterwards did a little, mixing with the vocals and stuff. And everything was multi-tracked. So I was able to kind of just, you know, take my ear to it and fine tune things to how I thought we would like them. And, so it's a very, involved process, from step to step. We're basically doing everything ourselves. But I mean, as far as the writing, that probably comes the easiest. The easiest thing for us is to literally, we'll show each other a riff and we just kind of build off of that. Sometimes, you know, like some of the ideas were some ideas that I kind of had more fleshed out with lyrics, and I already kind of had a song flow. And the other guys just kind of added on. But I mean, we never really, you know, we don't sit there and argue about what, you know, what chords or what melody needs to go here. We kind of just put it together in the room.
So it's kind of a group effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody can come in with some lyrics and you all kind of expand on that.
Absolutely.
You had mentioned that you're recording all this from home. You get a bass line sent to you and you add on that. I mean, it's the same thing with your drums. Your drums are being recorded and sent in, and you're just kind of, you're putting it all together.
Well, normally I'll have the guys come in to the house.
Okay.
Because I have the whole setup there. And, you know, we've got the drum kit mic'd. We've got the direct inputs for the bass and the guitars. So I'm able to direct input all the instruments and then mic everything else in the room. We just live record it right off the floor, kind of like they used to do in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so when you mentioned that you'd be Dropbox to bass line, are you then re-recording that bass line for the finished product? Or
yeah,
are you
whatever I record is actually a live performance
okay.
by
oh.
us.
Oh, so when you're recording, you're recording everyone playing together.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no click tracks. There's nothing.
There's
That's
no click
nice.
Track.
That's nice.
We're free to mess up and leave it there as it be. I mean, it's kind of like, I guess, a garage rock approach to it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. I think that honors your influences in a way, because I know, like you said, I mean, with garage rock, there's a reason why they use the word garage in that. You know,
yeah.
it's supposed to sound a little rough around the edges, but really capture that emotion. So
exactly.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some of my favorite bands, too, I know they've done it that way. Ben Queller had an album where he recorded everything live. I love a band called Super Dragon. They had a lot of their earlier stuff done that way. And I think you can hear it in the music.
Nice, nice.
So how many songs do you have down on tape so far?
So right now I've probably got about... I've got my work cut out for me. I've got at least... 9 or 10 songs waiting to be mixed and released. I'm planning on releasing our next single probably in about a month. We want to keep promoting our first single, Road to Zion, that we just put out on December 12th. But yeah, I definitely got my work cut out for me, because we took all this time where I recorded everything at the house, and I've been sitting with the guys kind of going through our backlog of recordings, and they were basically all rehearsals that I had recorded. And then we got to the point where, you know, because I have the ability to just record us as we're practicing, we would just kind of pick the ones that really sounded the best. And those are the ones that I would take, you know, and then I'll do a little mixing down and see if they're ready to put out.
Sure. Do you have plans to release any of this in physical form, like a vinyl or anything like that?
Yeah, that was actually our next plan. I mean, we're definitely, as lovers of the retro and the old school, we definitely, you know, want to pay an homage. And, you know, if we can, it'd be really cool to press a vinyl and put it out there for our people that have been following us. But yeah, we would definitely love to do that. And that's definitely the next step, as well as getting some physical copies out. If we might do the DIY thing and just burn a couple CDRs.
Oh, yeah.
And just hand them out. But
well, I mean, bands these days, they're doing retro stuff. You'll see some, you know, handmade CDs. You'll see some cassettes even. Just, you know, whatever gets something physical in somebody's hand. I think people like that. How are people taking you at your gigs? Are they asking for merch and stuff? Do you have merch?
Yeah, actually, we've got T-shirts going. Yeah, but we've got T-shirts that we bring out with us to every gig, and we've been moving those pretty smoothly. But yeah, definitely working on getting the physical copies out next. And yeah, hopefully soon we'll be able to put this on a vinyl and get a whole record put together as well.
Well, that'll be good. We might have to discuss the artwork for that. I'd be willing to help you out with that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Tell me a little bit more about your live shows. I know you said Strokers, and I don't think I've ever... I've driven by there a million times. I don't think I've been in there. I've seen shows all over Dallas and Fort Worth, Denton, Arlington, but I've only driven by Strokers. Like, how is the crowd there?
So the crowd there is, a little more laid back, older crowd. A lot of them are, old school bikers that are riding through, so... You know, a lot of times we're competing with the motorcycles pulling up, but we're pretty loud. So, I mean, the crowds there seem to receive us really well, especially being that it is, an older group of people. You know, it really shows that, like, from top to bottom, we've got a pretty good, range of age group of people that enjoy our music.
Okay, so it kind of runs the gamut. You've got everyone from... like the young crowd enjoying the music to the older crowd who really, I mean, you mentioned your influence with ZZ Top, and I've got to imagine, because I can hear some of that too. I can hear, like I said, some Stevie Ray and some Hendrix and stuff. Yeah. I got to imagine that helps the older crowd kind of relive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We've also played some more intimate shows. One of my favorite live shows we did was at Caves in Arlington. It's just a small little college bar. And that night it was raining and the house was packed. And I just remember people were just, screaming. They were clamoring for us, and they probably had never heard us before because it was our first time playing there. But I remember the energy in the room was just like really charged. And that night we had Ali playing with us. He's a Congo player.
Oh, that's cool.
He'll occasionally join us when he can, and he really amps up that Latin vibe for us.
And, yeah, and yeah. I remember you had a keyboard player at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rain must follow you too then, because I remember we did that one guy. I was doing that DJ gig out at Rockin' S opening for you, and you guys take the stage, and like 30 minutes later, just the downpour, it was like we were underwater.
Yeah, man, my subwoofer took a hit. But yeah, it was like a mini monsoon happened for like 10 minutes.
That was fun though, because it pushed everyone right into the listening area, because it was a covered area. And so right after the rain let up, you took the stage again. I mean, everyone was rocking out. So
yeah, that was a really fun show too. We had a lot of our people show up that day. It was my friend Austin's birthday, so consequently he was able to wrangle everybody up and be like, "Man, let's go see Sucia Muerte." And everybody came out, man, and they were having such a good time. And the rain definitely did not stop us.
Oh yeah, no, y'all closed that place down. That was a good one. Well, let's do this. Let's hear some of your music. Let's see. So you said you got about 9 or 10 songs recorded. Why don't we play this? We'll be right back.
I've seen. Everybody on the scene seems so fresh, so clean. Don't believe all the lies that they televise. Tell us lies, we supply all the hate inside. Speak the truth in this booth, just set me free. All soul, one love like it's supposed to be.
Well, that was definitely a solid song right there. Let's discuss some of the other bands that that you know around town. Obviously, if you're doing some regular gigging, you must be sharing the stage with a few people. Are you rehearsing at your house, or do you have a rehearsal space? How's that working?
So I did. Initially, we were rehearsing at my house. Now we do have a rehearsal space in Dallas, so we're blessed to have that. But yeah, usually we're rehearsing at open mics if we could. And as I mentioned before, Diamond Jim's in Arlington is actually where we met Grand Illusion. You know, I like to call them our sister band because they brought us on pretty much to every show that they were playing initially. And they really gave us a step up to just keep doing what we were doing.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. Yeah, let's hear some more about some of these other bands. So Grand Illusion, I mean, who else are you playing with? Or if you're in rehearsal space, do you have any other bands that are sharing the space? Or tell me about some of the bands you know.
Yeah, so I've played with Pride of Texas. They were a local band out of Arlington that we played with at Diamond Jim's.
What do they sound like?
They do a lot more like old school classic rock covers, you know, that type of thing, like some Black Sabbath, some Zeppelin.
I think crowds definitely like some covers, because I remember y'all covered some Sublime, and the crowd really got into that.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with throwing in a few covers, that's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, well, speaking about covers, I mean, what all covers, because obviously you've got some Jimmy covers that you'll do. What all covers do you normally play?
All Along the Watchtower is a favorite. Killing Floor, Red House, just to name a few there.
And you find, depending on the venue, that you do a different mix, where some venues you do better maybe where it's like 60% covers, 40% original, and the other places it's more like they want to hear 75% original and maybe only 25% covers. I know, like, if you play Rubber Gloves in Denton, you have to play all original. You can't play covers there. Are you finding that you're mixing up your sets that way?
I mean, luckily, we kind of have the ability to do either. So, like, if we wanted to do a real cover-heavy set list, we could. And we could also manage doing, you know, an all-original set list as well. Because our styles kind of vary, and I'm able to bounce off of my bass player and my other guitar player. Like, they know a lot of other music, too. So we kind of just put our heads together, and we're able to just throw a good four-hour show at Strokers. That's usually the crowd that we end up playing a lot more covers for.
Sure.
Just to kind of, you know, rope them in to hear our original stuff. But, I mean, a lot of times we'll mix it right in, and people can't even tell the difference.
Well, and if you're doing a four-hour set, I mean, that's a lot of time to fill. You definitely want to have a couple covers in there.
Yeah.
If you're doing 4 hours there, are you bringing in anybody else, or are you just, that's your stage for the night?
Yeah, it's normally just our solid four. Mike Steinbeck on the drums, Jackie Billings on the bass guitar, David Ortega doing, you know, sharing lead guitar duties with me, and myself. Usually it's just us four, kind of just the powerhouse.
Well, I bet you gotta be a little exhausted after 4 hours of playing, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, I like sharing my duties, so if ever I can take a break and let David take over a couple songs, I mean, that's the great thing about working with other well-versed musicians.
Well, he definitely looks like he likes to noodle around, so I bet you can get into a spot where he'll freestyle or jam, give you a break for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you had mentioned a couple of bands that you had played with. You said that you're playing with them in Arlington. You played, did you say Fort Worth? Have you ever played Fort Worth?
Yeah, I have. I've played at Halton.
Okay,
Halton,
yeah.
Halton Theater. Where else? Cicada. Cicada is in Fort Worth also, right?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I don't make it out to Fort Worth quite as often. I've been to the Ridgely. I've been to...
the Ridgely.
Yeah.
Played the Ridgely.
I've been to a couple places out there. It's a lot easier for me to connect with a band if they're playing all around town to catch them closer to home.
Right, absolutely.
And it sounds like you're making the rounds too. So yeah. Do you have any fans that you're seeing at multiple different spots?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I like to call them the... I'll take this term from another fellow musician in the Dallas music scene, the friend base, as they call it, the friend base. I've got a lot of my close friends that, man, they try to make it to just about every show. They're real supportive. I mean, we've been able to, it's not a huge crowd yet, but, you know, we're able to get our people out there and hopefully that keeps growing.
Oh yeah. I'm sure it will.
Oh yeah. Another local band that I really like to check out, especially back in 2020, 2021, when I was first kind of going through a musical rut, I went and saw the Wee Beasties in Denton.
I've heard of their name, but I don't think I've ever seen them.
Yeah, they put on phenomenal live shows, and they've got a brass section. They play like ska punk. Really, it's more like just really charged punk music with horns, but it's really fun. And, you know, just watching Richard Haskins do his thing, you know, it's definitely something that, you know, he was also somebody that was really in the beginning when I was doing this thing, seeing how he was putting on his live shows and just the passion that you can put behind it, you know, seeing that other local bands are still doing the band thing. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So the Wee Beasties, how many times do you think you've seen them, and where all was that?
At least, I mean, at least six or seven or eight times during that time, from Denton to Dallas. Yeah. Yeah, they're getting to be everywhere now, so that's awesome.
I think we're getting somewhat close to playing another song, and I think that Wee Beastie sounds like a pretty good idea. Or, oh, you know what? We were just talking about Grand Illusion. Maybe we should kick into some of theirs in a minute. But tell me a little bit more about them.
Yeah, so Grand Illusion definitely got a psychedelic sound, I would say more kind of the grunge side. They've also been an inspiration for us, just watching their work ethic. They're always putting on DIY shows, and I mean, also just the musicianship, the level of musicianship, and just who these guys are. Very respectable guys. You know, every time we're around them, very amicable. And I think that's something that's, you know, sometimes hard to find in the local music scene.
Yeah.
Because I've also, you know, having tried to put this group together, also experienced, you know, a little bit of friction and going through members and losing members and getting new members. And so, you know, coming across other musicians that are able to work together in a scene where really we can realize, you know, if we come together, we can really take this thing head on instead of, you know, trying to fight over, you know, which band gets what gig or, you know, and I feel like that's a huge part of the success that we've kind of had as well. Doing our thing is we've always, you know, tried to maintain that same philosophy, just like, you know, treat everyone as you would want to be treated. And I think in a music scene where, you know, a lot of things are kind of chaotic sometimes, you know, it's very cool to see how hard they've worked and to see the point that they've gotten to finish recording their album. And, you know, they're egging us on. They're like, hey, come on, guys, when's that Sucia Muerte album coming out? So, I mean, they've definitely been also a big fuel to our fire as well, kind of watching their development and growth.
That's cool. It's always weird when there's a band that you run across that wants to like knock the wind out of another band's sails, or they want to talk trash about another band, because every successful band that I've seen, they've always been supportive of another band. They've always championed them. They've always built a community versus trying to scratch their way to the top. You know, you build your way to being successful by having all these other bands in your same group. It helps everyone grow as opposed to trying to knock somebody down and saying,
absolutely,
well, why are some of my fans also liking you? They're my fans,
right.
You know? So it's good to hear that. Well, I think we should maybe hear some of their music then.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. We'll be right back. All right. Well, I love that. This is some stuff that I don't normally listen to, so it's nice to kind of expand my horizon. The lyrics were great. I know that you've got some pretty deep lyrics too. Why don't we discuss? You had mentioned that you all kind of come in with some ideas and expand on them. How do you come up with themes of your songs?
Yeah. So absolutely. I mean, definitely kind of taking a page out of reggae's book. I think a lot of the music I like to write lyrics that you know, either resonate with me based on personal life experience, as well as kind of just spreading a more positive message about things, and also maybe like shedding some light on like political injustice. So like some of my lyrics are a little politically charged as well. You know, I kind of just take that as, you know, for me, the music is a means to get out the message. My own personal experience as, you know, a Latin American, Mexican American, you know, Chicano, as they would say, you know, I've had my experiences as being growing up here in Texas and experiencing what that's like. And, you know, the influences that I grew up with, as well as kind of how that intersects with, you know, multiculturally with the rest of my band members, you know, and they've had, you know, their own set of experiences. Yet we all seem to kind of intersect on the same idea about, you know, pushing this positive message through our music. And not only that, but paying homage to like the ones that came before us. So like we want to make sure the music that we continue to put out there, you know, continues to have a powerful message for people. And, you know, that also that, you know, maybe we can grow and spread it to more places than just Texas.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. I know a lot of reggae will touch on political and social issues, but they'll find a way to spin it to where you feel positive while listening to the song. And I think that's a key factor, is you don't want to leave the music just feeling beat down. You want to feel right. like there's a path to something positive.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to go. As you were mentioning with the Hispanic heritage as well, I've shot a lot of Norteño and Tejano for the Dallas Morning News over the years. Even though I don't understand every word, you know, a lot of the bands I've wound up kind of researching and seeing how they mix in their life experiences. A lot of Tejano talks about the drug culture found in Mexico. You see a lot of stuff about much bigger pictures in life than just simply, oh, here's this girl that I like. And I like that a lot with music.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and much like that, you know, the messages that I talk about, you know, some of them being either about, you know, personal struggles with, you know, your own demons, or, you know, whether you have issues, external issues, things that are out of your control also that are going on.
I know that you mentioned you've got songs ready to go. You're hoping to put out some vinyl in the future. You're gigging around town. I mean, where do you go from there? What are your future plans? What do you see?
I see us in the future just continuing to enjoy making music and doing what we do. And I mean, kind of taking a page out of the local DIY scene that I've seen in Denton and Dallas and Arlington, you know, watching like the Wee Beasties and seeing how just charged their live shows are.
Yeah.
You know, and we like bringing that through our musicality, you know, just kind of just the way over the top guitar solos kind of thing. So we like to bring that feeling to our live shows. So we definitely would love to continue doing our live shows here locally, but, you know, much like these bands that end up actually, you know, moving around and touring, I would love for us to get to the point where we're also following in their footsteps and, you know, start touring around the country and literally just living off of what we love to do, play music.
And again, you mentioned so many bands that I'm not so familiar with. My knowledge is much more 80s and 90s North Texas music. You know, I spent countless hours in Deep Ellum in the 90s and 2000s. I see all these new bands coming up. And even though it's stuff new to me, it's still that classic tale of, hey, I've got art inside me and I want to share it with as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
I'd have to imagine, you said Wee Beasties are doing tours, you know, what you said, outside of Texas? Are they playing
all? They're touring outside of the state. And, you know, I've watched them grow and keep doing their thing. And, you know, it's all very, you know, punk rock, DIY, and, you know, that's kind of the same way that we view ourselves, is we do everything ourselves. We're putting it together.
You got to find yourself a couple other bands that have that same motivation, that you can put together a regional tour and just keep pressing out a little further and further.
Oh, yeah. It would definitely be places like Oklahoma, Colorado. I could see us hitting Cali, New Mexico, Arizona, definitely the border states, of course, with the Spanglish that I do on the singing. Like, it's a way that I bring together not only the Spanish-speaking people, but, you know, if you only speak English, you're still going to understand what's going on in the song, because I kind of bring that experience together, having that bilingual experience.
I don't think you necessarily even have to know what the words are to understand, hey, this is just some great music.
Right, and I think emotion can be easily conveyed with the music as well, even if you don't understand what the words are saying. You can hear the passion in somebody's voice.
I think everything that I've heard from y'all, it's had lyrics. Do you have any instrumentals, or is that something that you're just not interested in?
We've actually, because, you know, we're very much crate diggers ourselves, and we're hip-hop heads as well. I have actually thought of becoming that kind of band, you know, and we like bands like Krongbin and Glass Beams that do kind of that psychedelic, all-instrumental stuff. So that's definitely up our alley too, maybe in the future. I think I would like to be the kind of band that, you know, the hip hop heads would want to sample in the future, or even now, you know, even somebody modern that wants to take a snippet of what we're doing and, you know, flip it and do what they do. I think that would be very cool if we could become that kind of band.
If you're open to someone like that, and you said that you brought in some different sounds to the band from time to time, like the bongos. I know you had the keyboards, different things. How else do you see yourself expanding the band in the future? Do you see yourself maybe bringing in samples yourself?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think at some point we would like to even kind of introduce some sort of you know, live DJ mixing in with us while we play the music. But yeah, this is all something that I've kind of just been wanting to throw together every influence I've had growing up as a kid and just see where it takes me.
Yeah, sometimes that's the best way to go. You bring in everything you love and you find a way to naturally just kind of mix it into something amazing. All right, well, it looks like we're getting pretty close to the end. So I think we should pick something else to play. What do you want to hear for our last song? Who do you want to hear?
Let's play that song by the Wee Beasties.
All right. Oh, that sounds like a great idea. All right. Well, I'm going to say thanks to you for coming by. I think this was a lot of fun. It was definitely great for me to hear some stuff, because, like I said, you've got a lot of bands that are in your circle that I wasn't aware of. And I know, I mean, it's always going to be this way, where there's way more bands than you ever have time to see or hear. But I absolutely love finding out about new stuff. So this was pretty cool for me.
Definitely.
I think our listeners, hopefully they enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
So thanks again. And we'll go ahead and we'll play out with some Wee Beasties. Thanks.